The photographs of Elliot Erwitt make you smile. A proud and tiny dog in a woolen hat looks down at the camera, if that's possible, as a giant pair of human legs stretches outside the frame. A terrier leaps off the ground and off his shadow. A couple's blissful kiss is captured in the gleam of their car's rearview mirror. Elliot Erwitt was born in Paris in 1928. He started taking pictures in high school and by age 20 was living in New York, where he would meet photographers Edward Steichen and Robert Capa. He joined the famed Magnum Photo Agency in 1953 and has been a member ever since. Erwitt has a new book of photographs taken over the last 50 years called Elliot Erwitt's Handbook. Pictures where hands are busy, waving, tugging down a bathing suit bottom, cradling the head of a dog or a sleeping baby. Erwitt says he didn't set out to take pictures of hands, but they were there when he looked back at his decades of work.
You look through your pictures, or one looks through one's pictures, and discovers all kinds of things, because a picture is taken as a reaction to an entire situation, not anything specific. And very often you don't have a memory of what you've done until you see it, and perhaps your memory is not correct anyway.
Can you think of an example of that in the photographs in this book?
Well, there's one well-known picture of Nixon and Khrushchev having a debate in the kitchen, in the Macy's kitchen in 1959.
This was in Moscow when Richard Nixon was vice president.
That's correct, yes. He came on a state visit there, and I happened to be there taking pictures of refrigerators for Westinghouse, but I attached myself to the group, and luckily I was in a position to take pictures of the two. The picture that seemed to work the best was the one where Nixon was pointing his finger at Khrushchev. Now, I was not particularly aware of that, and it was just a thing that happened. Out of the other 34 pictures, perhaps the hands were not so important. But in one of them, they were. Just a luck of the draw.
Do you remember being aware at the time that this was going to be a famous moment, this kitchen debate that sort of spontaneously happened at this kitchen show?
I was not at all aware of that. It's just good luck that it happened, I suppose. Or good luck for Mr. Nixon, because he used that picture for to great advantage in his campaign.
Standing up to Nikita Khrushchev?
Something like that, yes. In fact, there was nothing of the kind. So you see that hand gestures can be misleading.
There are also two photographs in your book of Pablo Casals taken in 1957. He'd be over 80 in these pictures. And there's one where he's sitting with his cello, his bow arm is down by his side, and his other hand is splayed open, and he's sort of looking at his fingers in a very sort of wistful way. And I wonder what was going on when you took that picture.
That was one of the great moments in my career, I think. I went to Puerto Rico to take pictures of Pablo Casals, and he was quite friendly to me. And when I went to visit him, he said, would you like me to play for you? And I said, certainly. So he sat down and started playing some Bach music. And after playing for a while, he stopped and he looked at his hand and said, you know, I'm getting pretty old. Would you mind if I finished on the piano? And he proceeded to go to the piano and finish the piece, because apparently playing the piano requires less strength than playing the cello. But what a treat, you know, to have a private session with the greatest cellist of the time. And to have him finish and playing his piece on a piano is just amazing.
Tell me about the picture of Edward Steichen and Ellen Erwitt. They've got an incredible connection going in this photograph. She's looking right back at him, and he's sort of his hands, which is what makes it part of this book, I suppose. They're sort of cupping her feet very gently and lovingly.
Edward Steichen was a very important man in my life. At the very beginning of my career, he helped me. He introduced me to people and that sort of thing. And he was interested in me personally. And he was interested in my children as well. And this was my first child. And we would visit him. And he would go goo 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 under my child's chin. And it was very sweet.
It's right next to, juxtaposed with a photograph that you took in Maine of a a rather stout older woman reaching down to tie the lace of a child's shoe.
I think that's touching too, because of the bulk of the lady making it rather difficult to do this act. It seemed kind of sweet and sentimental to me.
I noticed that the very last thing in this book is a sort of a disclaimer from you, where you say that none of the pictures in this book have been digitally altered or manipulated. Is that sort of standard at this point that you have to say that, or is that something that you feel like you have to say?
You don't have to say it, but I feel that I must. I deplore what's happened to our craft, which has been undermined by people changing pictures with electronically or digitally or whichever way they do it, which undermines the entire good thing about photography, which is supposed to be a representation of what is rather than what you can make up in a laboratory.
I have read something that you said once, which is that you have been known to bark at dogs to get a reaction for a photograph. Is that true?
Absolutely. You've got to speak their language.
Does it work?
It works very well, yes. Sometimes not as well as others, but usually it does work well, yeah. You have to sort of figure what it is that they want to hear or what they will respond to. You can't have a deep bark for a little dog or a squeaky bark for a big dog. You have to speak their language.
And you have all of those languages at your disposal?
Well, sometimes I miss.
Is it something you can demonstrate to us now?
Sure.
Roof. 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 Roof.
That takes care of about two or three breeds, I would say.
That's remarkable. What do you think we were hearing there? What breeds are represented?
Well, one of them would be the dog that I have, but he's not gotten bored with my conversation, which is fairly limited. I have a Cairn Terrier.
And what other dog languages were you speaking there, do you think?
Well, one was a water dog, one of those retrievers.
A big dog?
Yeah. And one was a Chihuahua. Dogs get bored, you know, just like people. You can't patronize them and you can't do too much.
Yeah, you can't fool them.
No.
Not too many times, anyway.
Well, you can fool some of the dogs some of the time, but not all of the dogs all of the time.
Elliot Erwitt, thanks so much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Photographer Elliot Erwitt. His new book is Elliot Erwitt's Handbook. To see his photo of Pablo Casals, go to npr.org.